Welcome, and thanks for joining us for today's message from the archives of Pastor Tony Alamo, presented by Help from Christ Ministries. If today's message inspires or encourages you, please contact us at 918-506-5550. That's 918-506-5550. Or help from christministries@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Hi again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 73. If you'd like a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. They're free, including postage and handling.
The Lord has steered me now to do another one of the pieces of literature that I've written a few years ago. And this piece of literature is entitled Behind the Walls, sort of a spin-off on the part of the Bible where the people in Jericho were frightened to death because of the things that God was doing on the outside of the walls. And here they were hovering inside, behind the walls. But the Lord allowed Joshua to know the things that were taking place back there. Then we have mail or responses, whatever they are. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint outwardly this program. Father, we thank and praise Your name for eternal life and for those that are not saved, for the mercy that You've shown unto them and will show to them on this tape of how salvation is still open, still available for them if they haven't as yet blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask that You open up the spiritual eyes and the mind and the soul of everyone in Radio Land, that they will be driven to listen to this message, that Your Holy Spirit will lead them and guide them and compel them to turn on their radios, and that You'll open their understanding to where they understand that everything that You're saying through me is the truth, because You are the only truth in the entire universe. You're the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come into the kingdom of heaven, can draw nigh unto You, but through Christ. The Word of God is the truth, and Jesus is the Word of God. Lord God, we pray that You'll set the people in the world on fire to receive You, spiritual fire that burns within their hearts and souls with a glorious zeal to want to disperse Your Word throughout the entire world, because You're coming back to earth soon. And it's not Your desire that any person goes to hell, but if they send themselves there willingly by rejecting Your word, it is Your will that they spend eternity there, or otherwise You would have never arranged it that way. Set the church on higher ground, Lord, strengthen them. Strengthen the weak in the church to where they're strong. All they have to do in order to be strong is to receive Your word and to do what You say. And it's such an easy thing to do. The instructions are so simple, so clear, that it doesn't take a lot of figuring out at all. It is so easy to do. And we ask, Lord, that You draw millions, hundreds of millions, or even billions of people to Your precious bleeding side. We thank You for dying on the cross for us, shedding Your precious blood to take away all of our former filthy sins. And we thank You, Lord, that You went to hell for us. And we thank You for Your power, Your grace, which is power, that caused You to rise up out of hell. No one can get out of hell except God Himself. Christ Jesus is God Almighty. Lord, thank You for giving the witness that if Your Spirit is in us, as it was in You, Jesus, that we also shall raise from the dead on the last day, and that we shall also ascend into the kingdom of heaven. Let everyone believe this. Why should it seem a thing impossible that God should raise the dead? You're going to raise everybody from the dead on the last day. The graves will open, the tombs, the sea will give up her dead, the ashes that were scattered everywhere, every molecule will be brought back, because our body has to be judged for the things that it did while we were alive in the spirit here on this earth, or while we were walking after our own spirit rather than Your spirit. Lord, we ask that You don't allow me to say anything other than that which You are saying through me during this tape. I ask it in Jesus' mighty name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right.
Here I am with J.D. Sumner and the Stamps Quartet singing I, John.
not just somebody number. Well, in the middle of the air, not just somebody number. Well, in the middle of the air, somebody who will not charge somebody number. Well, in the middle of the air, not charge somebody number. Way in the middle of the air, when there were three gates in the east,
and there were
three gates in the west,
and to your brother,
three gates in the north, three gates in the south,
and that made
12 gates to the city, four square wide. Hallelujah, somebody who will I charge somebody number. Well, in the middle of the year, will I charge somebody number. Well, in the middle of the year, oh, John declared that he saw a man. He had 12 bright stars in his right hand. Well, his eyes flashed by like the burning sun. Oh, John got scared and he wanted to run. Well, I wanted to run, but his feet wouldn't go. Well, he felt the gospel come like a two-edged sword. Well, he heard a voice that said, John, take a look. Read what you see and then write a book. He saw 12 angels in the east. 12 angels in the west. 12 angels in the north. 12 angels in the south. 48 angels to the city, four square wide. Hallelujah, somebody know that I turn somebody number. Where in the middle of the year, I turn somebody number.
Praise the Lord.
Now, where's the first letter from?
It's a witnessing line response from Philadelphia.
Okay.
This man from Philadelphia called and said that he received the literature Earthquake in English. He read it but did not understand it completely, so he requested it in Spanish. And when he read it, he was previously going through a lot of fire. But the literature encouraged him to keep going.
A lot of fire means that he's going through a lot of trouble. That his soul was vexed because he knew that his soul was empty. The only way that we're able to be filled is to be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. And if people are filled with the Spirit of the Lord, really filled with the Spirit of God, it's not a make-believe thing, or that they just go to church or read the Bible and pray. That's really good to do, but to really have the Spirit of God in you to where you're allowing God to move you and think for you during the day and to tell you what to do. It's just the most marvelous thing that you could possibly imagine. Okay, and then what?
He said Tony Alamo is truly a man of God. God is using him in a supernatural way. He's like another Apostle Paul. He also said he agrees 100% with what the pastor says in the literature. He also believes everything Tony believes. He believes in preaching the gospel, winning souls, fearing God and keeping his commandments, and in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When he was reading about your experience at the office in Beverly Hills, the hair on his back stood on end because of the fear of God. He'd recently received a box of 1,000 of your literature, and he is thankful for Pastor Alamo because he helps others to preach the gospel. The same day he received the literature, the Lord woke him up to pray. He was praising and thanking the Lord, and the Lord told him, "Be ready to do my work." He said, "How, Lord?" The Lord said, "Through Pastor Alamo's literature, go out to the streets with it." He wanted to go to a lot of nice places, but the Lord told him, "No. Go out into the ghettos."
That sounds like me. I thought because I came from the motion picture and recording industry that the Lord would have me go to all the people in the industry and preach. But no, he sent me out to the hippies. And that was the last place I wanted to go because I didn't like the way the hippies looked. I didn't think that men should have long hair. And I didn't like the sloppy way they dressed. But I found out that those were the people that were really receiving the Lord. So I got to really love the brothers and sisters because they loved the Lord. They wanted to just get back out on the streets and win other souls. they became honest. They weren't robbing people anymore because we were taking care of them. We were feeding, clothing, and giving them a place to stay. And the places we had for them to stay back then wasn't very good. A lot of the people, including myself, when I first got saved, I had a lot of money, but I gave it all away. And before I gave it away, I started losing it until I found out what the Lord wanted me to do. And I found out that I had to sleep on the floor and things like that, and they did too. Now that isn't the case. This is going back 41 years. And so I just really praise and thank the Lord that when you pay the price, things may look dismal and gloomy, and you might not have enough money to buy even a loaf of bread and a dozen eggs to make yourself some French toast and a little bit of syrup or something on there. And that's where we were one day. I remember it very well back then. But now everyone in the church can now say that they're not suffering from a lack of food. Some of them have gained up to 100 pounds over here. Okay, and then what else?
He said these are really bad places in Philadelphia, but that he knows the Lord wants him to go there because that's where all the sinners are.
Well, there's sinners that are self-righteous sinners. There's some that are so self-righteous that you couldn't preach the gospel to them because they seem to be more godly than God, they think. Like they say, you know, Jesus sat with the publicans and the sinners. And the self-righteous hypocrites wondered, what was he doing over there? He'd even have a glass of wine with them and everything. And then there's some people say, I will not go into a place where they serve alcohol. Well, we don't, and the Lord doesn't mean that you should go there, especially if you're weak in regards to having alcohol. If you're a drunkard, you should formerly a drunkard, you should stay away from them. Now you're not a drunkard. It's not like AA says, I am a alcoholic. Either you're a son of God, but you're not a sinner. There's some that say, I'm a sinner saved by grace. You are no longer a sinner. You're a son of God once you accept the Lord Jesus Christ. All your filthy sins have been washed away in the blood of Jesus, and you are no longer a sinner. So don't ever say that I'm a sinner saved by grace. You hear a lot of these old preachers say that, but I disagree with them very much because the Bible disagrees with them. That would mean that you're still a sinner. How could, if you're a son of God and you're a member of the body of Christ, could you be a sinner any longer? Because he that sinneth is of the devil. Amen?
Amen.
Well, let's finish the letter here.
He goes to a non-denominational church, and he wants permission to put stamps on the literature that he passes out with the location of the church he goes to and the phone number so he can bring the souls to that church in Philadelphia.
Praise the Lord. I'm for that 100%. Just go right ahead and do it. That's wonderful. We have outposts all over the world. We've got, I don't know how many churches. There's hundreds of Tony Alamo Christian Ministry churches all over the world. And it pleases the Lord, and it certainly pleases me also that people are distributing the literature because the literature and the tapes do win souls. Lots of them, I'm told. There are some churches in Africa that have 50,000, 100,000, and up to 500,000 or more people in them that are reading my literature in their services and using my tapes that I'm doing. Okay, then what?
He said he has talked to Don and Steve on the phone. They were very friendly, and he was encouraging, exhorting, talking about your literature with him.
Praise the Lord. So now let's get on with the message, Behind the Walls.
It's wonderful to be saved. I'm so happy that I don't have to worry anymore about what it must be like to be on the other side of the fence.
The other side of the walls. When did I write this article?
1994.
Okay. So that's 12 years ago almost. Okay, let's go.
The other side of the petition, where the unrepentant, stubborn sinners are, or be in the same boat with them like the people of Jericho. They were frightened out of their wits because they knew they were sinners. They knew this fact was thoroughly manifested unto God and God's holy people, who were at the moment circling Jericho's city walls right outside their front doors. The people of Jericho knew that God was in the midst of Israel, and that God's wrath was aimed at them because of their vile sins.
Right, the people behind the walls heard that God had opened the Red Sea for these people, and here they are silently shuffling around the walls once every day for 6 days in a row, and on the seventh day, seven times, and they're just like wondering, what is this? What is this? These are the people that God destroyed Egypt for and killed the firstborn of Egypt. And he opened the Red Sea and drowned the entire Egyptian army and led his own people through the Red Sea on dry land. And now here they are in our presence. We're looking over the wall at these people, and they're not saying one word. There's not even a murmur out of them. There's something eerie, very eerie about this whole scene. Okay, then what?
They knew God was going to make something terrible happen very soon. To them, it looked eerie to see all his people pass in full view before them without a sound once a day. They were frightened because they heard wherever this mass of people went, nations and kings were destroyed by God for them. God had opened the Red Sea for them to walk through. The entire Egyptian army had been annihilated with a single stroke from Israel's Almighty God. After God had moved in such a glorious way for Israel, the Israelites provoked God by sinning. God wouldn't allow the older generation of Israel to cross into Canaan land. He left their carcasses to decay in the loathsome desert on the other side of the Jordan. It was the children of those who had fallen on the desert who were encircling Jericho. Because the youth of Israel had seen the severity of God's will executed on their parents, they felt it would be best to implicitly obey him.
Not only best, but extremely essential if they didn't want the same thing to happen to them. Amen?
Amen.
So the Lord leaves these type of signs and does these sort of things all throughout history, even up to this day. That's why you see these different tsunamis and earthquakes, and he's attempting, he's doing his best without destroying all the people in the world to warn people, hey, I'm not just a God of love. I am a God of love, but I hate people that refuse to repent. The Bible says, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Because one really wanted the blessings of the Lord, and the other one cared so little about them that he gave them away for a bowl of pottage, a bowl of soup. So are you selling your soul for a position in life or a job or a career that somebody has offered you, even though you know you're doing evil by murdering children or aborting children and things like this? Are you doing that because it gives you a lot of money in your pocket? Well, you know, the money isn't doing this Mr. Hicks any good any longer. And he had a position, and they gave him a little medal. You know, you can get medals in Cracker Jack boxes. And they gave him a badge, a billy club, a flashlight, and a whistle, and a uniform. And boy, that made him feel like a big man. But if he hadn't repented, he's in hell right now, screaming his head off, chewing on his tongue for pain, and gnashing his teeth and saying, oh, God, have mercy. Actually, he wouldn't be saying, oh, God, because the name of God is taken out of hell. You can't even remember what his name was because you didn't care about him here. And he can't hear you there. He won't hear you. He refuses to hear you. And you just burn forever. So think about what you're doing now and then line it up with what you see the Lord is and see if you qualify to enter into the beautiful city in heaven and stay there forever. Because it doesn't pay. You can only eat so much per day. You can only drive one car at a time. And if you're trying to impress your wife, if I were you, I would impress her by being a godly person. And if she wouldn't like that, well, then I'd let her go and I'd get me a godly wife. Because we're not supposed to impress women, or women, you're not supposed to impress men with the position that you have in life, but we're to impress the Lord. Because there isn't going to be some woman opening the gates in heaven. It's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ, not Peter. Peter was given the keys to the kingdom of heaven because of his belief in the Messiah, and you're given the keys to the kingdom of heaven if you believe in the Word of God, the Messiah. The Word of God is the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that in several places. Then what?
They would march, be still, shout, and trump when they were told. God honors obedience because it glorifies him. He can work only in a people who obey. He can do things for them, but he cannot if obedience is not given. God, for centuries, has looked for a nation of obedient people that he could work through. A nation that could be honored would give God glory by his lifting them above all other nations, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, that he could and would destroy their enemies before the eyes of the world.
And that's exactly why God puts people through some fire. He'll put you through some hard times. I'm telling you the truth. Sue and I and some of the brothers and sisters went through the hard times. For years we were short of money, and we had false newspaper articles written about us. And I was distributing literature on the street, and I'd be picked up for disturbing the peace. and we were deemed to be a public nuisance and all kinds of different derogatory things for us winning hippies off of narcotics and drugs and out of lives of murder, abortion and everything, and the whole entire world government came against us, and the entire media maligned us, character assassinated us, made up the most filthy, degenerate stories that we were mind control brainwashers, that we had tunnels under the ground. All these things were just a bunch of lies, and we invited people to come up to the property and with a shovel. Or as a matter of fact, I offered people, if you can find any kind of a tunnel underground here, I will sell enough of the property to give you $1 million to stop the press from telling those dirty, filthy lies. Or if you can come in this church and find a gun, which they said we had, I will give you $1 million. We didn't have it in money, but we built all kinds of property, and I would make my word good. Nobody came. I says, it only costs you $10 a chance, and we'll furnish the shovel. Come up and start digging. And nobody came up, so I guess they didn't believe the press in the first place. Amen?
Amen.
This is why they persecute, is because they don't want to hear the truth. And what else?
Thus was the frame of spirit and mind of the offspring of the children of Israel on the days they circled the strong-walled ancient city of Jericho with its terror-stricken citizens who had locked themselves away in hope that those thick walls could keep the hand of God's judgment from killing them and then sling their souls forever into hell's lake of fire, which they all knew was coming and they all knew they deserved. Shortly before this terrorizing scene outside the walls, two Israeli spies visited the city. It was then a city resident, a harlot named Rahab, told the spies the concerns of her city as well as those of the other cities in the country. I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath.
Even this prostitute that lived there in Jericho do that. She had enough sense to fear the Lord. Do you have less brains than a common prostitute? I hope that isn't the case. But the Bible says that to self-righteous people out there, goody-two-shoes, that a common harlot such as Rahab here will enter into the kingdom of heaven before you, because you people don't even believe that you need to be saved. You don't need a savior. You're so good. And certain things that God says are approved, you condemn people that do those things. So that means you're holier than thou, you think. And that's why the self-righteous will spend eternity in hell. It's like the Pharisees and Sadducees, who the Lord said that you are of your father the devil. And a common harlot is esteemed as very high if she gets saved. All of her former sins are taken away, and she has as much right to be married in a white dress, a wedding dress, as much as any woman that is a virgin. Because so far as the Lord is concerned, she has never committed one sin in her life. But when they absolutely know the truth of the gospel, and then they go right ahead and sin, knowing that they're sinning, these are the ones that God is after. And then the ones that think they're so holy that they don't need the Spirit of God in them, with the Father, by the Spirit, to give them the power to wash their sins away in the blood of Jesus by faith, and to give them the power to where they don't need to sin anymore. They can easily not sin. They just turn their back on it. So, self-righteous people, you're living under a delusion that you don't need Christ. All of us need Christ. We were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. It doesn't make any difference. If you, in your own eyes, believe that you've never sinned before, you still have the Adamic sin on your soul. And that has to be done away with, and you have to have the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, living in and through you. Okay, then what?
Shortly after the spies escaped, God opened and dried a path in the Jordan, and the youth of Israel crossed over into Canaan. This terrified Jericho and the inhabitants of the land all the more. Neither was there spirit in them any more, because of the children of Israel. Joshua spoke to Israel, saying, Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you, until ye were passed over. As the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us, until we were gone over. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever.
That's a pretty fearful thing, that God would open up the Red Sea, or any place for you, and open that kind of a door for you to get away from an enemy that is just hell-bent to destroy you. And you know, there is a huge army of people today that is hell-bent to destroy you. Satan cares so little for your soul that they were actually instructed at Waco, kill some of your own men. And here their own men figure that they're going to get big rewards for what they're doing. And the stinking demonic leader of the country and Janet Reno, this lesbian attorney general, ordered the execution of their own men. That's how little Satan cares for your soul. Because he knows that if you die and you're not saved, that you're going to go to hell. That's why he's going to do everything in his power to prevent you from being saved. And he's always after your life to kill you so that your soul goes to hell. If you are saved, if the Spirit of God is in you, he doesn't want to kill you. Then he wants to wait until he can cause you to backslide, so that it's going to be hotter for you in hell in the lake of fire than it would be if you had never known the Lord. Well, I see that our time is up, and you will not want to miss the remainder of Behind the Walls. So make sure that you tune in tomorrow. And until then, this is Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord. And hey, get right with the Lord right away. Ask the Lord to enter into your heart. Ask him to wash all your filthy sins away. Ask him by the Spirit, Jesus, come into my heart with the Father by the Spirit and wash all my filthy sins away. Enter into me and give me the strength that will make me more than a conqueror in you. And Lord, I will read your word and I will keep your word. But I know that you won't turn me away, because your word says that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that means me. Therefore, I know you've heard me. And I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. Just praise and thank the Lord. And share and tell everybody how to receive a copy of this program, number 73.
Go to alamoministries.com. Email us at taoffice@alamoministries.com. Or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 2948, Hollywood, California, 90078. Or call area code 661-252-5686. That's 661-252-5686.
God bless you. I'll see you, or you'll hear of me tomorrow if you tune in. Praise God.
For generations, many have been blessed by the anointed messages of Pastor Tony Alamo. Help from Christ Ministries is always eager to hear from our viewers. Please contact us at 918-506-5550. That's 918-506-5550. Or help from Christ Ministries at gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.